Let us immediately pray. Now, righteous Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your presence. Thank you, Lord God, for this marvelous grace that we've sung about and that we learn about, we read about, we study about in your word. And Lord God, we pray, Savior, that thou wouldst be glorified in thy word today. Lord, make your word plain to those whom thou hast ordained it to be made plain to by thy blessed Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord, be glorified, Lord. Use this vessel to thine own glory for thine own purpose. But, Lord, unto you, all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, in Jesus' name, amen. We certainly praise God for so many that are out today. I know you're going to laugh in your spirit, if not on your lips. But any time that the gospel of the grace of God can be spoken to even one, that's great. That's wonderful, great. But this is great news that God has left on record of that which he have provided and done for us, and he did it before we ever came on the scene, before he ever brought us on the scene of life. Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians. I know a couple of the adult Sunday school eyes going to raise when I call these scriptures out, because this is where we are currently in our Sunday school lesson. Galatians chapter 1. And for a context, we're going to take verses 11 through 16. And I will deal primarily with verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 15. Now, I'm going to ask our pastor to be our designated reader today, and I will read through the context without much comment, and then we will come back and light specifically on verses 15 and 16. But before Pastor begins to read, we're going to read from the interlineal Greek text. If you have a King James, that's all right. We're going to make explanation in many things. We're going to give definitions and the like, so that you will be able to have the Word of God conveyed to you, at least from the human standpoint, where you can perceive the definitions of what we're going to talk about and speak regarding. But from a general overview, we're going to speak this morning regarding sovereignty and placement. Sovereignty and placement. And from a more specific and particular viewpoint, we're going to present to you this morning the sovereignty of God in the placement of his elect in eternity and its manifestation in time. The sovereignty of God, sovereignty meaning the absolute right. God's absolute right. The sovereignty of God in the placement of his elect in eternity and its manifestation in time. Now, placement, a general definition of the word placement, and we're going to get further into it as to what placement really means regarding God. A general meaning of placement is the act of placing, or the condition of being placed. See, if I want this Bible here, I want this book here, and I want this tablet here. The condition of being placed, or the arrangement, how things and ones, us, things, were and are arranged. Now, one more before we read. One statement which the text will have to substantiate and back up. It makes no difference what we say if the text or God's word does not substantiate it or give credence to it. Statements don't mean a thing except God's word gives meaning to that statement. As the Almighty Lord God and creator of all things that exist, let me say something right now about existence. God is not in existence. You remember this, some of you all, from the doctrinal conference. Existence is in God.
Amen.
Existence is in the Almighty Creator, God, who happens to be our Father.
Amen.
As the Almighty Lord God and Creator of all things that exist, God has the absolute right. He's sovereign.
Amen.
He has the absolute right. When you have a sovereign, he don't need Congress's approval. He don't need the Supreme Court's consent. But God has the absolute right as the Almighty Creator and sovereign to place, to position, and to do as he pleases. And all that God does is right as God. He created all. He gave all its being. And all that he created, he has the absolute right as to where he want to put it, when he want to dispose of it, and how he wanted to proceed through its existence.
Mm-hmm.
God has that right.
Amen.
As the Almighty Sovereign. Again, Pastor Cutler is going to read from the Greek Interlineal. And we're reading the context of which my text will be primarily Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. But we'll read beginning at verse 11 through verse 16. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor Cutler, if you please.
Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11 from the Greek Interlineal.
Mm-hmm.
For I make known to you, brothers, the gospel preached by me, that it is not according to man.
The gospel preached by me, Paul said, is not according to man. All right?
For not I from man received it.
I didn't get it from man.
Nor was I taught, but through revelation.
Uh-huh.
Through revelation of Jesus Christ.
Now, all of the 12 apostles were taught verbally, continually, by the earthly sojourning Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not one of the 12. He did not get it from man, not one of the apostles, but he received it through revelation by the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He received it straight from Christ. Uh-huh. Verse 13, Pastor.
Verse 13, for you heard my conduct then in Judaism.
All right. But you heard, King James say, for you heard of my conversation or manner of life or conduct in time past. In Judaism. Uh-huh.
That excessively I persecuted the church of God.
He ain't blowing smoke here. If it was cruelly done unto the church, Paul did it. He said, I persecuted the church of God, and what, Master?
And wasted it.
And wasted it. Now, Paul is not talking about the Grace Church here. He is talking about the Kingdom Church, because the Grace Church, of which he preached the gospel and the Lord formed it, or manifestly formed it, openly, visibly formed it, it wasn't even in place yet manifestly. He's talking about the Kingdom Church. Those who believed on Christ, he persecuted it and wasted it. The Grace Church, of which he was head of the dispensation of grace and the primary proponent of the gospel of grace, the Grace Church had not even been formed. Now, this is all in rightly dividing the Word of God, where it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study or agonize to show yourselves an unashamed workman. King James has it, study to show yourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing or cutting straight the Word of God. God's Word has to be cut straight so that we can get or dig out the meaning of what the Bible actually teaches. You've heard it many times over the years, some of you, and so have I. The Bible says a lot of things, but we want to know, what do the Bible actually teach? What is it saying unto me? What message, what directives is the Word of God giving unto me? For instance, just a momentary example. God told Israel, if it swim in the water and don't have scales, don't eat it. Catfish lovers, don't eat it. Paul said in Corinthians, if it's sold in the shambles, which is the meat market, eat it if you can deal with it. See? So what the Bible teaches, that was to Israel, don't eat things that swim, that have fins and no scales. But unto us, the teaching, the instruction, the directives were, eat it if it's sold there, if you can stomach it. All right. At verse 14, Pastor.
Verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And progress in Judaism.
And I progressed in Judaism.
Beyond many contemporaries.
Beyond many contemporaries.
In the race of me.
Uh-huh. You know what the contemporary is. Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses Grant were contemporaries. We are contemporaries. We live in the same time. All right, read, Pastor.
Abundantly.
All right. So he progressed above many of his contemporaries, yes?
Mm-hmm. Abundantly. Mm-hmm. A zealot.
Yes.
Being of the ancestral of me traditions.
Oh, my God. He was a zealot. According to traditions that were handed down in the Jewish faith, Paul, he was on it. He was for it. He believed in it. He lived for it. He was a zealot, according to the traditions of his father. The things of the law, Paul was for them. Not that he was keeping the law, nor any of his contemporaries were actually keeping the law. But they had, as it were, set aside the actual literal meaning and reading of the law and had taken on a symbolization of righteousness through the law in the keeping of the different things that the law had prescribed. So he was zealous in the traditions of his father. He couldn't keep the law, and neither could we, but we are not asked to. All right, verse 15, Pastor.
Verse 15, but when was pleased, the one having separated me from the womb of mother of me.
Yes.
And having called through the grace of him.
Mm-hmm.
To reveal the son of him in me.
Yes.
In order that I might preach him among the nations. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
All right. All right. Verse 15 and verse 16. My text for today. But before I go forward in expounding my text, I want to impress primarily two things to your minds today. The first one is placement. Placement. Again, a general meaning of placement is the act of placing or being placed, or the arrangement. Now, I want to read an excerpt from the very familiar document that we have just been and maybe just finishing going through, the scriptural application of belief and baptism. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will use this to impress upon your mind or put to your spirit more regarding placement. Baptism or baptized, placement, identification, position or positioning, all have mutual relations. Mm-hmm. Baptism, identification, placement, position, or positioning, they all have mutual or in common relation. Baptism is placement, identification, or positioning. To be positioned means to be placed. And placement is in and of baptism. Listen, this term, baptizo or baptizo, as it is in the Greek, is used to represent two different things in the scriptures, one spiritual and the other physical. Remember hearing these words? The former, spiritual, is referenced in the grace covenant or contract, or our covenant or contract, the grace covenant, as baptism by the Spirit of God. Water baptism is not prevalent, is not prescribed in the grace covenant or contract. Amen. It is in the kingdom, but not in the grace contract, which is ours. The Spirit of God, in which God's elect was joined in union to Christ and was thereof positioned or placed and is in Christ. We are in Christ right now. In stark contrast, the latter, physical, ceremonial baptism by water is referenced in the old, which is the law, old and new covenants, which is the new covenant that God made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and it's on hold now, but after we as the church, the body of Christ, are extracted out of here, then will that covenant be confirmed unto those Abraham's natural descendants and all Gentiles that were blessed or are blessed through them. All right. The latter is referenced in the Old and New Covenants as ritual baptisms with water, wherein the recipients are identified as subjects of the Commonwealth of Israel. Again, though this word sustains diverse of various meanings, baptizo, where we get baptism, it conveys closely related ideas, all referencing the identification of God's placement plans for his elect, you and I, and all those that belong to God, wherever they sojourn. whatever their level of intelligence or knowledge concerning the things of God. They are placed. God's placement plan for his elect. Hence, the same identical word is used, the same word, baptizo, is used for both spiritual and ritual or physical baptisms, which suggests that the affiliation between the two ideas is identification or identifying one's placement or positional relationship in God. God places according to his sovereign will. Now, the second thing I want to convey to your mind today is a statement. And this is extracted from the text. Statement means nothing unless the text substantiated. And we're going to get into my text momentarily. You are right now. We are right now. Exactly. Manifestation wise, that is visibly, seeingly, we are right now where God has placed us.
Amen.
Right now. You say, well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. God does. You don't know where I'm at, what I'm in. You are right now where God has placed you and I. But you are eternally wise, actually in Christ. That's first. We were and are eternally in Christ. And manifestation wise, let me give you the meaning of manifestation. Clear things up. Keep them clear. Manifestation means clearly revealed or visible. Eternally is God's realm where all of his workings would perform before he ever said, let there be, and it was. Eternity. Always, we always were where God has placed us, and we always will be where God has placed us. Manifestation-wise, that which we can see in this life, on this earth, temporarily. Don't forget that. It's just temporary. Everything you see is temporary. Amen. Everything around you, everything about you is temporary. Amen. Every predicament is temporary. Amen. Everything we got ourselves into is temporary. Amen. How we look, let me go. Your job, amen, temporary. I'm away from mine after 34 years. Temporary. 34 years. Boom. I'm away from it now. I'm in another one, but I'm away from that one. Your job or lack of job. Temporary is where God has manifestly placed you. Your family. You know how we love our children. Oh, she's cute. Temporary. We won't be with one another always. Temporary. Your relationships or lack of relationships. God has placed you in them temporary according to the course that he has designed for you. Your physical attributes. Temporary. Your economic status. What is more or what is less? Temporary. You are where God has placed you. Well, I can't hardly pay my bill. You are where God has placed you. Your church affiliation or lack thereof, temporary, and it's in God's placement for you. And on and on and on and on, we are where God has placed us. In fact, everything regarding your existence, everything, eternally, everything regarding your existence from your faintest memory of consciousness, everything, everything regarding your existence, and in the capsule of time, which is in and of eternity, the capsule of time. We got eternity, and we got the capsulation of time in eternity, which itself, the capsulation of time is in eternity. God has sovereignly designed, he has sovereignly purposed, and he has sovereignly decreed it according to his sovereign will in your existence, in your life. Everything, everything God has decreed it. All right. Y'all looking at me funny then. Let's go to verse 15 and 16 of our context. But before I give my comment, I want to read another excerpt. Our adult Sunday school will again recognize this. Another excerpt regarding verse 15. It says, and when God was well pleased, having separated me from the womb of my mother, and having called me through his grace. Who is the mover and the shaker there? Who is doing all the action? Who is doing all the work? God is. This is Paul talking. But God is the actor, the mover, and the shaker. Listen to this. Consider this. Paul is speaking here about how God sovereignly, there's that word, sovereignly, according to his absolute right, manifested, made clearly visible, his purpose, not Paul's purpose, not Paul's, but God sovereignly manifested his purpose in and through Paul. And we could put that to each one of us as God's elect. He sovereignly manifests his purpose in our very existence. All of it. In stating that God had set him apart. Paul said God had set him apart. And appointed him from his birth. When he was, before he could say goo goo. Appointed him from his birth. Also, God had called him through his grace. Remember that. He was in the dispensation of the grace. God didn't call him in the law of which manifestly he was a part of. After he grew up, became a young man. That was manifestation, but that wasn't actualization. That wasn't really what it was about. God called him through grace. Remember what it said up there? He said, for you heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion. He said, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted. He was a Pharisee. He was in the Jews' religion. He was under the law. But that wasn't what God ultimately had for him as far as placement. Sometimes what you see ain't all it is. God had called him through grace, certifying the sovereign design of his call on the Damascus Road. The certifying the sovereign design by God of his call on the Damascus Road to be an apostle. Thus, in the process of the, even though he came up through the Jewish religion, he was a Pharisee, a self-righteous Pharisee, practitioner of the law, God had called him to be an apostle in the grace dispensation. Thus, in the process of time, God was pleased to reveal his son in Paul. The total picture here is God sovereignly moving, his exercising his absolute right,
Amen.
Moving in and selecting and setting him apart for his apostolic ministry. Even while he was persecuting those believing on Jesus Christ. You can't look at nobody and say that they going straight to hell. This man was persecuting, killing Christians. And yet, the Lord had already sovereignly, according to his almighty right, certified Paul an apostle in the grace dispensation.
Man.
To reveal a whole volume of truth through this man that just cutting Christians' throat, head off, kicking them, dragging them, everything. Did you ever say? And this is not original with me. You heard it many a time. Did you ever look at nobody and say they going straight to hell or you ain't saved or you ain't saved? We just don't know
Amen.
What the ultimate of God's sovereign will is.
Amen.
God had by his decree sovereignly saved and commissioned him, Paul, as an apostle. In the manifestation of time, God sovereignly in time now, it had already been done in eternity by God's decree. But in time, God sovereignly and progressively revealed to and through the one he was pleased, God was pleased and irresistibly to move to reveal the eternal aspects of his son in formerly Saul of Tarsus, who later was designated the Apostle Paul. Honey child, God is the one that decides where we're going to live, where we're going to go, how long we're going to be there, whether we're going to go at all, when we're going to return, if we return, what we got, what we don't got. God determines all that. Listen to it. I'm going to read it from the King James, but I got the designations here, the grammatical stipulations of certain key words that I'm going to bring out. But when it pleased God, or when God was well pleased, this is in the aorist tense and the indicative mood. Aorist tense, we usually say past completed act, but lately we've been shortening it and saying a completed act. Completed act. This was already done. A done deal. The aorist tense in the Greek means a completed act. When God was well pleased, God was not well pleased with Paul, but God was well pleased. Now, I know right now somebody's mind going to go run over there to Hebrews where it was talking about Enoch before he was translated, had this testimony that he pleased God. We don't please God in ourselves. We are in, placed in Christ Jesus. God is only well pleased with Christ.
Amen.
And he said it upon occasions in the synoptic gospels. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We have not the ability to please God.
Amen.
Everything about Enoch, His translation, I was going to turn there, but in the interest of time, I'm not. His translation, the witness, the testimony, that was an aorist tense and a passive. It was done regarding him or done about him. Passive, passive, you didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Aorist tense. It was completed act. Before Esau ever came on the scene, it was determined that the testimony would come down that God was pleased in what he performed in the life of Esau.
Amen.
And the same thing coming up with Paul. All right. But when it pleased God, or but when God was well pleased. Aorist tense, completed action. Who separated me from the womb of my mother, stomach, belly, womb. Aorist tense, completed action. Called me, aorist tense, a done deal, a completed action.
Amen.
By his grace, to reveal his son in me, aorist tense. This was already done before Paul came on the scene. You know that separating from his mother womb was before the revealing his son in it. Both of them aorist tense. They were completed actions. Everything here, saints, is from the eternal realm, and it had its in time manifestation. Everything in verse 15 and the beginning of verse 16, the revelation of God's Son in Paul had its eternal actualization. And it wasn't even manifested till the man had gotten grown. It was eternally decreed that Paul would become an apostle, a man of God, and that the Lord would reveal his son in him through grace, and that he would preach him, being a Jew, being in Judaism, persecuting the church that then was, that he would reveal in him his son to preach the gospel of the grace of God. God wasn't well pleased with Paul. God was well pleased in the eternal realm in that which he had already purposed, already designed, and it was only to be manifested. Same thing with us. Who the thump in my life when I had superfly hair, superfly gold on my tooth, and all the other stuff, trappings, going to every cabaret and club I could reach, every party, house party, bar party, who the thump that the Lord had me in his salvational plan? I never thought it. That's why everybody said when the manifestation of my salvation came out, everybody working around as a very young man, say, Gavin, I remember Elder Colbert, you say the same thing. Colbert? Who'd have thought it, that I was in God's eternal plan? Praise God. All right. So he was not pleased in Paul. He was pleased with that which he had done, that which he had wrought. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul did not desire nor participate in his own existence or his being brought or coming into being. He didn't participate in it. He didn't even desire to come into being. Neither did you and I. The Apostle Paul did not choose his in Christ position. What did it say? When God was well pleased, that is, in the aorist tense, in eternity, who separated him from his mother's womb in eternity before it was ever manifested, and called him by his grace in eternity before it was ever manifested. And as I said, so say I again, even when he came on earth, it wasn't immediately manifested. He was persecuting the church of God. He was in Judaism. But all this was already in place before God brought him on the scene.
Amen.
Same thing with you and I.
Amen.
Same thing. He didn't choose his family placement. Didn't it say God separated him from his mother's womb? He must have put him in the womb of the mother he wanted to be in. Isn't that common? Doesn't it? Nor did we. He didn't choose his in Christ placement. I know that's right. He was killing them that even called on Christ that were in the kingdom church. Neither do we. We didn't choose our in Christ placement. I don't care what they're preaching. What do we call it? Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy simply means the majority opinion. Study the Bible and find out what it teach, not what it and others say.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. He didn't choose his family placement, nor did we. He didn't choose his course in life, neither do we. What did Paul say? I have finished my course. That's in the aorist tense. That means a course was designed for Paul. And it's passive. He didn't design it. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
All that was in eternity. Laid out for him to do, and he couldn't deviate from it right or left. Paul didn't choose the length of his life here on earth. Neither do we. Who'd have thought that the Lord God Almighty, who chose this man from eternity to reveal his loving son in this man to proclaim him in a dispensation to a people, who'd have thought that he would have him beheaded by a godless monarch, despot? Who'd have thought it? But that was God's pleasure, that was his placement, and that was his course. Oh, I'm going to come on down here in a minute. His economic status. Paul didn't choose it. Before he manifestly was put where the Lord had eternally decreed him to be, he had money. Like some mofo grind here I know. They used to have money. As a Pharisee. But as the Apostle Paul, sometimes he didn't have nowhere to stay. He had to work on the go. Sometimes he was hungry. Sometimes he had to fast because he didn't have the funds. Man carrying the revelation of the mystery. Look how God directed his life. And you look around here at the average televangelist today. You got to have this. You ain't blessed if you ain't got this. You ain't in it if you ain't got it. Paul didn't have it. That was foreign to him. He had it before it was manifested what the Lord had originally determined to bring him into.
Amen.
His occupation. He was a Pharisee. He became a tent maker, Paul. But he was originally, from eternity, made a minister. His level of health. He didn't determine it. And neither do we.
Nah.
We don't determine even our level of health. No need in looking at your brother, sister, and your neighbor. Say, dog, how come they all zestful? And I can't hardly get out of the car. That's God's business. God places, he decrees unto you according to his eternal will for your life, his purpose for your life. Now, my neighbor always getting a new car, and I can't pay the light bill. That's God's business. He didn't decree it to you.
Well,
hallelujah.
Amen.
talking about placement here. Placement. If he give you substance and then take it away,
amen,
that's God.
Amen.
He's sovereign. He has the absolute right. I know you're not going to believe that either. Let's not give some corroboration. You know what corroboration is, to bring in testimony to confirm and strengthen the statement. We've already given one where the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee, he had money, he had status, he had stature, he had prominence, but when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, all of that went. It went out the window. I'm going to ask, in getting ready to close, I'm going to ask that you would turn with me to the book of Revelation for corroboration. This is for corroboration. This is bringing in other testimony, and this is outside the grace contract, the grace dispensation, the grace covenant. Don't get scared because we're going to Revelation. When these things go down, you will be out of here as a member of the body of Christ. You won't even be here. But we're bringing this in for corroboration to show how God is sovereign in his placement and how his sovereign will and right is in every aspect of our life. Every aspect regarding us. Revelation chapter 6. Pastor, you can read from the King James. I have the Greek grammatical notations documented here. So we're going to read from the King James Version. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 through verse 11. Now I want you to see God's sovereign will being implemented in the manifested or in earth or reveal or that which you can see placement or assignment of his elect. It's not always glorious. I don't care what they're preaching in the mega churches. It's not God's will that everybody have money, long life, good health, and the like. This corroboration from another covenant, contract, dispensation. We'll be out of here when this go down. All right. Pastor Cutler, would you please begin reading at verse 7 from the King James Version.
Revelation chapter 6, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had opened the fourth seal,
mm-hmm,
I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see.
All right. This is the Lord Jesus, Lord God Almighty, manifested Lord Jesus, that is the one opening the seals. I won't do it, but if you don't believe me, go back to verse 1 of this chapter and see who called in the shots on opening the seals of judgment on this earth. This is the Lord Jesus, not an angel, that are opening these seals of judgment on this earth. And I think it'll be brought out in our context also. Verse 8, Pastor.
Verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse.
Pale horse.
And his name that sat on him was Death.
All right.
And hell followed with him.
Uh-huh.
And power was given unto them,
mm-hmm,
over the fourth part of the earth.
To do what, Pastor? Throw a big party?
To kill with sword.
To kill with sword.
And with hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And with death.
Mm-hmm.
And with the beasts of the earth.
A fourth of the earth will die in a short space. But we will be out of here. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but obtaining mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Pastor.
Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal,
and we didn't open the fifth seal,
I saw under the altar,
mm-hmm,
the souls of them that were slain,
mm-hmm,
for the word of God,
mm-hmm,
and for the testimony which they held.
Now, would you not say these are the elect of God? They might not be in the Grace Church, but though the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Everything that Pastor has read, every event, every enactment that he has read thus far is in the aorist tense and many in the passive voice. They didn't do it. God had decreed this from eternity, that this would go down just like it's going down. These are God's people that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Verse 10, Pastor.
And they cried with a loud voice.
They cried with a loud voice.
Saying, how long, O Lord?
How long, O Lord? Not how long, O devil. How long, O Lord? What, Pastor?
Holy and true.
Holy and true. You know that ain't the devil.
Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth?
That isn't judge and them that are on the earth and sing and avenge are all in the present tense. How long, O Lord, are you going to let those on the earth get away with what they are doing, present tense, unto us and have done unto us? How long, Lord, will you let them get away? And what? And verse 11,
and
the Lord's response.
And white robes were given unto every one of them.
White robes were given to every one of them.
And it was said unto them.
And it was said unto them, aorist tense again.
That they should rest yet a little while, a little season.
Aorist tense, passive voice. Rest a while.
Until their fellow servants.
Until your fellow servants.
Also and their brethren.
And their brethren.
That should be killed.
That should be being killed.
As they are fulfilled.
As you is fulfilled. Now why didn't, oh Lord God, stop the slaughter of his people? Why didn't he say, okay, I annihilate them. I used and went to this extreme corroborative example to impress to your mind that just because you're going through some great predicament or some great stress or some great strife, it is still God's will that you in it.
Well,
it's still God's will.
Well,
you have a course. Everything on your course is not rosy, as it was not on theirs. God could have stopped the slaughter of his people. But for his glory and for his purpose, they suffered. They died. Same thing in your life. Unruly children. Unruly spouse. Want a spouse. Want to be away from a spouse. Whatever the case, had plenty of money. Now it's not any. Trying to get the job. Trying to pay the rent. Gas too high. Taxes too high. Leaders won't do right. Even I lost my child in a war that I don't believe in. Whatever is in our course, God has ordained it. We are so stressed out. I know you heard this. We as God's people are so stressed out. Oh, Lord, I wish I had a, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Get rid of it. Strive. Pray. Let's get rid of it. Whatever we're going through, God has ordained it. Whatever is on the menu, God has ordained it. Paul's life was manifested. It was manifested in time, but it was decreed everything about him from eternity. I'm going to read it from the Greek text from the Sunday school. And when God was well pleased, and I'm going to close on this. And when God was well pleased, having separated me from the womb of my mother, and having called me through his grace, who'd have thunk it when he was a Pharisee and given the authority to persecute God's people? You know this is before. This is before the man's earthly existence that this was decreed. Your course and my course was decreed before our earthly existence. The highs and the lows, the goods as we would deem, and the adverse things. It was decreed by God to reveal his son in me. My God, he was killing Christians, slaying them, causing them to blaspheme. You know what blaspheme means? Speak evil of. He was blaspheming and causing them to blaspheme. If you want to live, blah, 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 blah. Some did, some didn't. Who'd have thought that this was written of him, separating from his mother's womb, called him through his grace? God was well pleased to do all this. God is well pleased in the things that we suffer because he has ordained them. He's well pleased in his purpose, his placement, his positioning of us, his sovereign will being played out and displayed in time. Being manifested, seen clearly. God was well pleased. Praise God. And the things that he has placed in our course. It won't be long. It's going to be over. It's just temporary. The bigger picture is that we were actually and are actually eternally in Christ Jesus. These things. Everything. That's why I went through a litany of things twice I did. They are temporary, in time manifestations. I don't care what you thinking, you see, or see, or doing, or thinking about doing, it's temporary. Amen. You are eternally, actually, in Christ. And the manifestation of it is in time when he called us to identify with our salvation that already was. Amen. And he's with us every step of the way, no matter what we're going through. Rejoice. Where did Paul write rejoice from? Did he write from a picnic, Pastor? Pastor said he was in prison when he said rejoice. And what did he say to back that up again? And again, I say, in jail, and they didn't have lawyer trials and stuff like that like we have today. They didn't have a good lawyer from out there to get them off. We are actually in Christ, saints. And his will is manifested in time. Our placement was in Christ from eternity. We are in Christ right now. His will for our lives and the course of it is manifested in time. Trust God, rejoice, and ever say, Lord, let your will be done. God bless you.
Oh, hallelujah.